There we go. Okay, recording in progress. So we're looking at the Tehillim that attributed to Moshe. And most of them are sort of, they fit the model of Tehillim that were of the Mishkan. And we looked at some of those. We'll look at other ones later. The two that we dealt with last time, which is Tefillah Moshe, Shalkim, Yosheb, Sitra Yon, was part of the, I mean, I'll explicitly say it was part of the initial inauguration of the Mishkan. There are two other Tehillim left. They don't fit into this model. And those are Perek Tzadi Bet, which is,
92.
yeah, I know that. When you say it is Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbat.
Really? That's his too?
Yeah, again, yeah, so Rashi says that it's 90 through 100 are all Moshe.
Okay.
Okay, so this is Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbat. And the other one is Tzadi Daled, 94. Which is Kelak Mot Hashem, which is the Shir Shalom for Wednesday.
Oh, interesting.
Why do I keep changing my translations? Translations, this. Oh.
Yeah, it's 91, 92.
Oh, that's because I'm going to log in here, if you don't mind.
How many days of the week does he get?
And, oh, for the Shir Shalom, yep, just these two. Well, no, and Friday also. I'll do that a different time.
These two and Wednesday, no?
Friday. Yeah, so it's the Shabbos.
All right.
94 is Wednesday.
Yeah.
Those are what we're going to look at. And then Friday is Shem
Okay.
Malach Ge'ul. Monday is Korach. Sunday is a Mizmor LeDavid, and Thursday is also LeDavid. I think we looked at both.
Basically, Moshe gets a majority of the Tehillim
Three out of the Shir Shalom, right?
then.
Okay, but we're going to look at these two here because they don't fit in this model of, okay, this is not something you would sing necessarily in the Mishkan. It's not celebrating Hashem, and to understand those, I'm going to use an interesting hypothesis from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. And he is trying to understand what does Tzadi Bet, Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbat, have to do with Shabbos, right? You read the words. It says, Tel Shabbos, Tovot LaHashem, it says nothing about Shabbos at all. Nothing about creation, nothing about day of rest, nothing about Yetzirah Mitzrayim, any of the things we associate. Never mentioned Shabbos. Why is that called Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbat? So what he does, and this is from the Emet Yaakov, he goes back in time. When Moshe comes to
When you
Paro,
say goes back, who do you mean?
I'm saying he's going to go back to the point where he's going to look at the story of when Moshe goes to Paro and says, "Let my people go."
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's where we're going to look. You know, this is not Moshe building the Mishkan. It's not Moshe composing Tehillim in any sense. This is Moshe's going to Paro, says, "Let my people go," and it says, and then Paro, of course, says, "No, no, no, I will not let you." Right, and he makes things worse. So Paro commanded the taskmasters, Bet Shartrav, and the overseers, like Martin said, told them, "Lo tosifun la tevin la'am." Well, I'm not giving you any more straw to the people, so that they can make bricks, like the past days. They need to go out and gather their own straw. And the quota of bricks that they need to make, Tmol Shoshan from previous days, the Tfilah Ham, you're going to keep it the way that was. No subtract. Why can you him? Because they're lazy. Akim. That's why they're all crying out to me. Lamar, Nilchad, they say they want to go serve Hashem. Obviously, they've got free time. We're going to take that away.
Hey, where do you get lazy at near fame?
Near PM. How do you want to translate near PM? They're weak. I would
No,
try.
because what's rot? What's rot?
Rafa means to be it means to be weakened. Let's see how we
It's not the same spelling as Emek
let's
Rafaim.
see let's see, look. Let's see how we want to translate this. He translate here. They are idle is the way he translate the way Corin translates it. Look at Rob. Rashi. Here. Rashi's using a translator. Well, the translator Rashi says lazy. I would go with lazy.
You would?
Near right.
I've
That's
never
what
heard anybody use that word for, I mean, I guess it's not used in modern Hebrew, but.
let's take a look at it.
Because I think Emek Rephaim that has an aleph in it for ghost.
Rafa is modern Hebrew is just weak.
Oh,
Go with
wait.
weak. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Feeble, limp.
Okay.
Rephaim. He doesn't help me. Anyway, but he's going him near PM. They're not doing enough work. That's why I say on time. Let the work be make it make let's make the work harder on these people, make them do it. While Yeshu b'divrei sheker and let them not spend time b'divrei sheker. Yeshu. Rashi explains what Yeshu means. That's what we're going to look at on Yeshu. Don't spend your time thinking and talking about nonsense, vain things, right? Divrei sheker. That's what you're saying. You want to go serve Hashem, this God. I don't know what this God is. You're spending time divrei sheker, Yeshu. And the same word, b'chukecha, right? Tilim uses all the time of esha'eh, meaning to spend time for an hour, right? Have
Means
time.
me to spend time with what?
Well, in this case, b'chukecha tamid, right? Tilim is saying that I want to spend time in your laws, and Paro is saying Al Yeshu b'divrei sheker, let them not be wasting time with these lies. If Shalomar, the other way of understanding Yeshu is in the way it's used in Bereishit, Vayisha Hashem el hevel ve'el kayin lo lo sha'a, mean to turn to pay attention to. Rashi says don't translate that way. Fairish al Yeshu al Yifnu, say that they shouldn't turn to these words of lies. Jim Kane Hayel Tov El Al Yeshu El Divrei Sheker. The word is to, not bit. Although Lid Divrei Sheker. Bishimu Shel Bet Smucha, and this bit, meaning with, is never used in the sense of Al Yeshu, Lacharehem, and anything else. So this is a different word. Yeshu means to spend time with. And the Medrash connects us to the idea of shashua, a pastime, an amusement. Right? Tilim Kufri. Lulei Torat HaShashua. If it weren't for the fact that Torah, my pastime, I was invited to, but I knew I would have been lost in my misery. The Torah cheers me up. So that's the Yeshu. That's what they're facing. That's what the Medrash says about Tichbada Avodah. Paro says, I want this work to be harder. Tells him that it means that they had scrolls of some kind. They had books. So you mishtashin bahen. That they would spend their time looking at these books. In Israel, and even the years of slavery, they had some text. That's the Yeshu. And Paro telling him that you can no longer Yeshu, you no longer spend time with these texts. They would spend time mishabbat from 1 week to the next. And Lomar, and the text would tell Shekhar Baruch Gola. They still had hope of being saved. They remembered their ancestors, Abraham Yaakov. The fish you know him b'Shabbat. They actually had rest on Shabbat. Look at this. Even in slavery, Marlon Paro, Kechbar on Hashem. Paro says the work should be harder. In addition, they have to go find their own straw. Now work will get harder. Yasubab Al Yeshu, that now they should do it. They can't spend time with their Megillot, with their texts. You mishta by took away their weekends. So what are these Megillot? That the Midrash is saying they had. They had some kind of history they can look at. So there's a Midrash that Moshe, when he was a young man, he was the prince of Egypt. Moshe invented the weekend. So well before he's coming to Paro saying, let my people go. He's 80 years old at that point. But when he's still a young man, he's living in the house of Paro before he goes, he's getting exiled. Like Dan Moshe, he grows up, he goes out to his brethren who are enslaved. And he saw their suffering. Again, this is the measures on that. Rosh ein lehem menucha. For the suffering he saw, they had no rest, had no rest. Halach b'maklos. So he goes and tells Paro, his adoptive grandfather, and tells him, look, mi sheyesh lo eved, if you have a slave, you may know nach yom echad b'shavua, who met. If you overwork him, don't give him a day of rest or the whole week, he's going to die. You'll make a lot more money if you give him a day off. Be a lot more efficient. Right, you're going to work them to death. You want them to work. You're better off giving them one day off. Let them relax. That's what he said. So Paro tells him, fine. Left. And fine. You go tell them. You go do what you just told. You go reorganize them so they have a day off. He said he established this historical. He had Shabbos. Their day off. Not Kedusha, not connected to Hashem, but just as a day off. And so that's the connection when it said that they had this day off. And when Moshe later on goes back and says, let my people go, Paro says, that's that I'm taking away your day off too. Obviously, you've got too much time to waste. This is the end of the Yaakov. Yaakov coming at you. Minei lo matzino b'shumako, ma b'gilote elu u'ma ala b'sofa. And so we never see any mention of what these megillot they had and what happened to them. Were they saved? Do we have any record of what it was that the Medrash is saying that they were looking at? So I'm going to propose. When you look carefully at Tilum Taribet, Mizmar Shil Yom HaShabbat, Yireh Shelo Nimtse Sham Shum Zecher Yom HaShabbat. Tell, there's no mention of Shabbos there at all. Adaraba, the opposite is true. What's the theme of this parak? So if a mizmar biar lanu, the last passage explains shetachlit kavanat a mizmar, that the point of this mizmar who lahagig yashar Hashem, right, to re velo avla tabo, right? Hashem is righteous and there's no iniquity in him. That's not what Shabbos is all about. What does that have to be Shabbos? Why mention? Benira appears to me shemizmar zeh. So I'm going to propose that this was one of these Megillot that they had. They would spend their time. This was their, literally, a Mizmor Shir Li Yom HaShabbat. This was a document that they could look at on Shabbos. They would see this. After Paro agrees to Moshe's request, Chitain Yisrael Yom Menucha, said, okay, we'll give him a day off. But Bachar le Moshe Yom HaShabbat, Moshe put Shabbat, because he knew the importance of Shabbos. Tita Moshe, Shitashu Bnei Yisrael, and Moshe got Bnei Yisrael to all get together, Vishtashu B'Megillot ahead, and go study these Megillot, whatever it was they had, but including one of them, including this parak, which we'll look at why that's relevant to Bnei Yisrael and slavery. And when Moshe comes back, he's 80 years old and says, let my people go. So Paro says, no, you're obviously too lazy and too much free time, so I'm going to take away this day of rest from you, and you have to work on Shabbos also. So now you can no longer deal with these lions. Okay, so what is this? What is this? That message that Moshe gives Bnei Yisrael that Paro doesn't want them reading, and so look at inside. Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat. Again, reading that literally, this is designed to be read on Shabbos. Tov L'Adot L'Hashem. It's good to thank God. L'Zamer L'Shem Chayyom, to praise your holy name. L'Agiva Boker Chastecha, to speak of your mercy in the morning, and your faith at night. On 10-stringed instruments, a navel, whatever instrument that is, a lyre, alayhi gayon, on with compositions, bikinor, on the lyre, lute, bikinor. And the wording is like, is telling us that this parak doesn't talk about halakha Shabbos. That wasn't relative. They didn't have Shabbos then. That's before they had any commandments. This parak is about hope. Okay, it's telling them that things get better. And the Jews needed that in the depths of their slavery. L'hagi b'bukh chas decha, metaphorically, is when things are bright and sunny, you can talk about God's mercy. That God's done wonderful things to us. When it's not, and when it's balelot, is your faith at night when things are dark and you can't see the chesed, Hashem keeps that faith. Believe that. That's what Malbim says, to itgaleh Hashem. That, you know, which when you can see God's hand, hashgachit, where the divine providence is, divine providence is visible, and God lights the whole world with mercy, all his glory. Then you can talk about it. Or when it's dark, or hashgachi, when you see, we don't see divine providence, there are no miracles. Still, the Amunah, Amunatecha should be, your faith remains. Let's see if I can actually edit that. Here. That's the description. And he continues, Kisamachtani Hashem b'falach, because I, Moshe the author, is saying, I rejoice in your work, and I sing about your action, the work of your hands. Magadlumasecha Hashem, how great is what you do, your thoughts are very deep. And the question is what's there to celebrate? Smachtani Hashem b'falach, I am rejoicing in your works, in your work. If you're looking at slaves, they don't have to celebrate. They get one day a week off if they're lucky. The rest of their life is avodah perech, backbreaking work. Moshe tells them they're not looking at the big picture. It continues, Ish bar lo yeda u'chasil lo yivnetzo. A brutish man, as Malbim says, that a ba'ar is from language here from shilach biro, one sends out one's animals. Ba'ar is cattle. A person is like an animal. I don't know, the one who doesn't understand. And a kasil is a fool, won't try to understand. It says, Yesh hebdel ben ba'ar ben kasil, different between a brute and a fool. Shabar hu adam ha-behemi, bahami, v'shatef, it's cognate with shilacha bi'iro. Now look about grazing your cattle in somebody else's field. That's a ba'ar. That such a person is lo yada. But a fool can know things. They just don't pay attention. Doesn't act wisely because he wants his own desires, his own evil doings. He doesn't necessarily act intelligently. That's different between knowing and understanding. Yidya because yidya is what you know, what you've observed, what you can sense, and what you can tell just by thinking a little. Here. Oh, there. Ah, here we go. Smaller, sorry. Editing as I go. I'll never have time enough to edit. There we go. And that bina means understanding is when you're actually using your brain trying to understand. So, that a kasil may know things you can figure out. Cause and effect, I'd be chinab yisyon by thinking and experimenting. In a road sale, it's a mishpah of sayab to guna, but he doesn't want to use his intelligence. Lavin gam sechlo to understand things. But be'er lo yada. The brute, animal-like intelligence doesn't know what's going on. So the bnei Yisrael and the state rather of ish be'er, they're They don't have the time to understand what's going on. They can't think about the big picture. So they need to go beyond survival to do that, to appreciate Maglu Masech Hashem, and that's what Shabbat was there for. That's what they should have spent their Shabbat learning, trying to understand how human history works. And so this, the Emes Yaakov continues, and after I thought about this, Nirali, here's to me. That once we know from the Gemara that this parak was Mizmor Shil Yom Shabbat was written by Moshe, Mashka Tu Rashi Masechta Bava Batra, like looks at the Gemara before. So this parak here is one of these Megillot. Adam Binyan Shal Rasha V'Tovlo V'Tzadik V'Ralo. This is talking about how do I understand the Odyssey. How can evil exist in a world where God is good? That's the big question of Jewish philosophy. And so this Mizbar tells us one way to approach it. They're in slavery, but you have a chance to try to understand what's going on. And he adds, why do I say this particular parak written by Moshe was written now during the time of slavery, not later on? Because that's when this question was relevant. Move on. That once they left Egypt, and they had the clouds of glory surrounding them. And every time they sinned, Hashem would act immediately. They see God acting in every moment. They would be punished immediately. They were rewarded immediately. They had the bomb, which was miraculous. They didn't really have this question of theodicy. God's hand was obvious to them. So I have to say that this parak is only relevant to Bnei Israel when they were in Egypt. And they would see with their own eyes that they were the righteous ones with respect to the Egyptians. And the Egyptians are enslaving them. They have a tradition, God is just, God is all powerful, God is good, and bad things are happening to us. Why? And that's when Moshe with the Adon HaNeviim had to deal with this question. So here's his answer. When the evil flourish a blossom like grass and the evildoers bloom, but only to be destroyed forever. But you are above it all forever. Hashem, your enemies will be destroyed. All those who do evil will be separated, will be taken out. And you raise my, literally my horn, my glory like a re'em, orax is age full. I have that power. You anoint me with fresh oil. And I will see my enemies when they're defeated. When my enemies lies up to me, I'll hear about how they are eliminated. So that's the answer you see in Tehillim all the time. When you see bad things happening, you need to take a longer view. Things will get better. They're flourishing like grass, but they're going to wither away. And this isn't really an answer to the question of why bad things happen to good people. There is no answer for that question. It's an approach. It's a way of dealing with the reality of suffering. Continue on with life without knowing why.
That's where the true faith comes in.
It is, because you need some answer. You need to something to say and think about. So we have these various approaches about eventual reward, Olam Haba, this idea of Gamzu Tova. Talk about that. None of them are an answer. You're not looking for an answer. We're looking for a way of continuing to live. And it's an approach. So that's what Rav Kamenetsky is saying, that this is one of the Megillot that Bnei Israel had during those dark years of slavery. That's what this is about. And so when those...
My feeling is that all these mitzvot ben adam l'chavero is supposed to be a tikkun for that, that there is suffering in this world.
Okay, that is certainly another approach, is that we're there to do good.
Right.
It's not, you can't claim it's an answer. You can't
I'm
simply say, here,
not saying
stop playing bad.
it takes it away. I'm just saying that that's also part of what we're here for.
Yes. And that's really, that's much the parent approach. Telem is more the parent approach of Michelet, that your job is to do the right thing, which it deals with the same question. Your job is to do the right thing, and Hashem will punish if you don't, reward if you do. And if things aren't going bad, you need to think of what can I do better for me. That's a different approach than this, and all of them are valid. And you have to have the sensitivity to understand when to use that with other people. What do you say to somebody else who's suffering?
Sometimes you just say, they're suffering. The world has not been redeemed yet.
Okay, that is,
You
that's
know.
an answer. Like I said, there isn't an absolute answer. Here's one. So, but when they have that,
That doesn't take away the suffering. You know.
after Israel, if they have this here, but then they take these Megillot away, right? Basically, take away their shot, take away their chance to think about it. And he says, "Al yishuv b'divrei sheker." Paro is telling him, "Stop dealing with these lies." The people lose hope. And so when Moshe comes to them and says, "We're going to leave Egypt," but Ber Moshe came in Israel, lo Moshe, and they didn't listen to Moshe. Mikotze ruach, there were short, according to short, there's a breath. We may have a dakasha from all that hard work. They lost hope. So the Perek says, "Don't lose hope." Hashem is Yashar, lo avlat avo. That's what we end with, and the wicked will parech kamo esav. They will bloom like grass, and then they're going to wither away. But the righteous are like trees. Take a long time to flourish, but live for years, they'll get there. So that concludes with Tzadik Tamar Yifrach. Righteous will bloom like a palm tree. Erez Bavon Yisgeir, like a cedar. They will flourish. And then Vevet Hashem, as though they are planted in the house of God, and they'll blossom in the courtyards of God. Eventually, it takes time. Trees don't blossom overnight. Grass does. Odivumusevad, they'll rest in old age. They will remain flourishing and bright green. All of this is to say that God is right. God is good. God is just. It just takes time. To reave, long with the flow, Shem is my rock, and there is no iniquity, no sin there. So we take this Megillah of Tzadik V'Ra'lo. And so it didn't disappear. We kept it. It was incorporated into this into Tehillim and out to the Seder. We say every Shabbat, but we're in a similar position to those slaves. We see injustice in the world, and I ask, where is God? And the answer is Gamzu Tova, eventually. It'll get better, Latid Lebo. That's what the Mishnah says. Shabbat Hayomrim, Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbat. We say that parak. It's Mizmor Shil Latid Lebo. It's a song for the future. We don't see the Tzadik Tamar Yifrach now. It'll happen. Yom Shekulo Shabbat Menuchah L'Chayei Olam. There will be a time when it would be at rest. Slavery will be over forever. So that's why it's called the Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbat. There's one other parak. One of these Moshe songs that also deals with Tzadik V'Ra'lo. And that's the Wednesday one. It's much more brutal. Okay, it's calling on God to wreak vengeance on the evil beings. Fire and brimstone, wipe them out. Kel nekamot Hashem, kel nekamot apiyah. God of vengeance is God. God of vengeance, appear. It's command. Say shafet ha'aretz. Rise up, judge of the world. Hashem gemul ga'im. Pay back those ga'im, the arrogant ones. Ar matay rishim Hashem. How long will the evildoers last? Matay rishim yalozu. How long will they rejoice? How long will they be happy? Same kind of question. Calling on directly. You're going to take revenge. And they're called Geyim, arrogant ones, Rasha'im. We'll see later that their sins are against Amcha. Amcha Yashem Yedachu, Nachalcha Ya'anenu, that they crushed your people, your inheritance, they tortured, implying that these Rasha'im are not Amcha. These are non-Jews. That's what we're complaining about. God. Shafor chamarkal ha'goyim, you say that, and the Haggadah. Pour out thy wrath upon the nations. And which goes to this model, that this is one of the parakim that.
That's in the Passover.
Yeah, that's it. That's part of the Haggadah. That's what we say. So it's a similar thought, right? take revenge against all the goyim that are destroying us. And so that goes with Bnei Israel and the slavery, right? This is not after they leave and they've seen the Egyptians drown. This is while they're still suffering their hands, because they're geim, they're arrogant ones. That describes Egyptians. Only Hashem can legitimately have gavra. Those who pretend to it will be destroyed. That's what Az Yashir celebrates, right? Ashur Hashem ki go'a ga'a. I will celebrate Hashem because he was truly ga'a, arrogant. God showed them he's arrogant over the arrogance. He wipes them out in the sea. This is before that, because these ge'im, these arrogant ones, they talk a good game. That's what the parrot says. Yabiu yedabru atak. They express themselves. They talk harshly. They talk strong language. Yitamru kol pole aved. That's why I see. What is this word yitamru? Literally, they speak of themselves. It's like the hit ba'el. Evildoers. And that word appears elsewhere. And they're lehe'amer, or to call it to be spoken. Here in Devarim, it's translated as distinguished. Hashem hemartayo. That was last week's Parashat Kitavo, that you have distinguished, that you have spoken out well of Hashem, and then Elohim, you've made Hashem your God, Alechem drachav, you're gonna go his ways, Vishmar Kokov, Shratav, you're gonna listen to him. And Hashem hemircha hayo, same he'emir. Has distinguished you, has spoken highly of you, the Lola Am Segula, because Hashem's chosen you to be a special people, Hashem Diberlach, as he's told you. And Ramban says that the word also appears as like Hit Amer with an ayin. So this is Yit Ameru with an aleph, but it also appears spelled with an ayin, and that's in the context of oppressing or abusing someone. excuse me, watch my voice. The case of the Eshi Yifato. Beautiful captive. Can you hear my dog?
Not really. Why is he barking?
Yeah. But if you take this captive and you don't want her, you have to let her go. You can't sell her to slave. The same language of don't itamer, don't oppress her. Takas, you've already oppressed her by taking her captive. Or similarly, by kidnapping. You might say, Ish ganoyev nefesh me'achav, b'bnei Yisrael, that someone kidnaps someone else. Itamerba, same word, presses them, umachron sells them, umeta ganavahu, then the kidnappers put to death. So Ramban and all those words, trying to put them all together. What do they all mean? Menira benai. So the way I think it means, lo titamer, lo titamer, consider as though it had an aleph there. That's this Arab pasuk here. They act. Similarly, they had the same thing with the Yud there, where they believe the Aleph entirely. They will make themselves glorious. They will talk about themselves. They'll distinguish themselves. That's all talking about greatness. That you glorify Hashem, Ramam Tab Gidalto tell you glorify Hashem, Leo Kim, Bemirchayam, Hashem glorifies you, Ramem Gedelotcha, Hashem is glorifying you, I'll call him. Nigzru min Rosh Amir. It all comes from the same root of Amir, which in Yeshaya means the crown of a tree, top of the tree.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the context of Yeshaya here. Rosh Amir.
So Rosh Hashanah is the crown of a tree.
Right, the topmost branch. That's what he says Amir means. Meaning when it says Lotit Amerba, means don't make yourself rule over her. Atah now that you should be your master, l'machra, you can't treat this Yifan Torah as a slave. That's right. This is the part that I found fascinating. Okay, in Arabic, the word is an emir, like the United Arab Emirates.
I thought an emir is like a prince or something.
The prince, that's what's exactly what he's saying. That's the root of the Arabic word. So he says, Yit'amru kol pola'aben, is that they're acting like emirs. They're acting like rulers. The pola'aben. Right? They're acting as though they rule over us. That's the Egyptians. And what do they do? As the parak continues, Amcha Hashem, they're crushing your people, they are torturing your inheritance. Israel, the widow and the stranger, they're killed. Yitamimi, murdering orphans. And they say, God won't see it. God won't understand. So they're bad. So, pure God of vengeance. But instead of directly saying that God should destroy them, we should change the subject. He goes, Binu Ba'arim Ba'am, saying large, these Ba'arim, understand you Ba'arim Ba'am, meaning of the people. So he's not looking at the Egyptians at this point. He's talking to B'nai Israel. You who don't understand. And you fools, when will you get it? And he said, and he has a series of rhetorical questions. Mata Ozen, Halo Yishma, the one who created the ear, won't he, can he hear? The Mitzvah Ayin, Halo Yabit, the one who created the eye, won't see. You think that Hashem doesn't know about it? The one who rebukes nations won't chastise them. The one who teaches, who gives intelligence to human beings, you think Hashem will understand? Hashem yodea, God knows what people think. He knows that they are meaningless. Hashem. So again, he's not looking at the Rishon. He's looking at the people. You're the ones calling on the God of vengeance. That's not how things work. And the language here is very similar to the previous parak, right? This, you know, Binu Ba'arim Ba'am Kisilim Matai Yaskilu is very similar to Ish Bar Lo Yada'a Ksilu Bin. And this is from an article by Avram Shavir from the Herzog, pointing out that the words are very similar between Mizmor Shilim and Shabbat in this parak. They're clearly meant to be a pair, they go together. Right, the Rishaim, Yatzitu Kol Aven, Rishaim Kol Aven, the same. Be'er Kasil, Yibina, right? Tebe Einai B'Shirai and Tishmana Aznai is corresponding to Ozen, Ta'ozen, Yitzhar Ayin Hal Yabit, Mimaraim Raim, Yakuma Imraim. Those languages are very similar, clearly written by the same person, having the same message here. And where there says, okay, it'll get better. Give it time. You have to look at the big picture. Here he's saying the same thing, but he's adding something here. That when he goes through all these rhetorical questions, the last one is Hamalamid Adam Dat isn't really a question. The Quran translated as being a, you know, he that chastises nations shall not correct, he that teaches man knowledge and then leaves out the second part of, well, God will know. And in fact, in the Nikud, it is a rhetorical question. This is a Hei HaSheila. If you look at the Nikud, it's a Patach followed by a letter with a Shva, and the letter doesn't have a Dagesh in it. That's a Hei HaSheila. It's asking a question, right? Does God give man knowledge? But it's very close to being read as a Hei Yediyah, meaning the one who, you put a Dagesh in there. Hashem teaches man knowledge. So we start with these rhetorical questions. Obviously, God's going to know because he like created the ears and the eyes and beings. Obviously, Hashem would know. And now we're making the point that actually Hashem teaches something. Not a question, statement of fact. But there's something to learn. So that's where the parak switches to. You fools, you need to learn this. Ashrei gever asher tiasrenecha umitoratcha tlamdeinu. Happy is the one who is chastised, who gets yisurim, who suffers at the hands of God. And learns Torah. Askit lo mira'ah, because he will give him quiet in the bad days. Ad yichra l'rasha shachar, until finally evil is buried. Lo yitosh Hashem amok, because Hashem will not abandon his people. V'achotol lo yazov, and he will not abandon his nachala. Right? The same nachala that was being tortured.
Nachala's inheritance now.
Inheritance, right. It was a Bnei Yisrael, our Hashem's nachala. Amcha, Hashem yidachu, yanenu, but they're tortured. Amcha v'nachcha, and Hashem says, and he says, "Lo yitosh Hashem amo, v'chatol yozo." I'm not going to abandon his am. Yad tzedek yashuv mishpat. So eventually, justice will join with righteousness. We'll get to that point, right? What was Martin Luther King's quote about the arc of history is long, but it bends towards justice?
Yeah.
That's ad tzedek yashuv mishpat. Justice and righteousness will come together. We'll return. Bacharav kol yishar lev, and it'll be supported by those who are yashar lev, and only those who are righteous. And we have this idea that Ashrei Gevur Asher Yetzer Yonah. Happy is the one who is suffering in the hands of God. So Iyov says the same thing. Ashrei Enosh, happy is the one who is rebuked by God. Masar Shaddai Al Tames and the Musar. The lessons of God you shouldn't reject. But he just says why. Why should you be Ashrei happy if you have Yisurim? It's because Mutoros Chol Tzamdeinu. If you can experience pain and learn from it, that's the definition of Ashrei. You see that aspect, the pain of an aspect of Torah. That's called Yisrim Shel Abba. Excuse me. Like the Gemara says, that Elohim Yisrim Shel Abba. What are Yisrim Shel Abba? Hashem makes you suffer as out of love. Kol She'ein Behen Bitul Torah. Something that doesn't, you don't lose your Torah from it.
You
But you
don't
still
need
have
to
something
cover
to learn.
for what?
You don't lose the Torah. There's no
Oh, okay.
Bitul Torah left. In other words, you can look at that suffering and grow from it. And that's what it means. Ashrei Gevur Asher Yetzer Yonah Ka'u Umetorah means Yisurim come teach a lesson. Happy is the one who can see that. Happy is the one who Hashem chastises and learns. So it's a little different from this Gam Glatova, things get better. In the end. So the idea of Yisurim Shel Av, it's another approach. It's not that it will be okay in the end, but these difficult times are inherently good. Suffering has some benefit. And one example I gave is that getting exercise is exactly that. You're not enjoying running on the treadmill, whatever it is that you're doing, but that actual act of doing it is what's good for you. And there are times when you can say that this suffering is actually teaching me something. I'm learning from it, I'm growing from it. That's a good thing. And then he continues with this idea of Yad Tzedek Yashuv Mishpat, making the point that it's not about the call for vengeance. It's not Hashem, Kamot, that you should be calling for. We should be calling to bring Mishpat Litzedek, not Nekamah. That's what we're looking for. It's justice, not vengeance. We don't try to take revenge. So the prayer continues, and Moshe calls the people to join.
You do have these different feelings where you're calling for vengeance.
There are some, and they have to understand that. That's not what this is. This is changing from vengeance to this Mishpat.
Okay.
Saying that those who are calling for vengeance are the Inu Ba'arim. Those are that's the simplest for the Ba'ar, the animal, like the brute. And that's there's a better way to approach it. It says, Mikom li imraim, so who's going to join me as I face down those who do that? He says, Save li impol Evan, who will stand with me as we face the evildoers. Li Hashem is our tali. If Hashem weren't helping me, my soul would be silent. But now, if I say my foot is slipping, your mercy supports me. As all these troubles are within me, your tanchumim, your comfort, will bring delight for my soul. So that goes back to this. La Yishua Debre Sheker. He's saying, no, that is a Shashu Nafshi. Those, what you're Yashui, that's what you're spending your time on, learning these Megillot, these Parakim here at Tehillim, that's going to support you. Hashem will not let those prevail, who prefer justice prevail. And so And Yecharavcha Kiseavot is a rhetorical question. I can't. Will the literally the throne of destruction join you? My Paro's throne. Will it join you? Yetzer Amal Echok. But those who do, those who oppress, will get to make the laws. No. You go to Al Nafshei Tzaddik. They gather together against the souls of the righteous. Dam Naki Yashiu. They are evil to the if to innocent blood. Now Hashem Lila Mishkav. Hashem is my support. And my God is my rock and my refuge. And ends. Pay them back for all their sins. Tame, and annihilate them. Wipe them out in their evil. We're broke with their through their evil. Yes, me tame Hashem Elokeinu, God, wipe them out. We come back to something similar to the beginning, right? He still wants them to destroy the evildoers. And it's a very negative way of ending the parak. My last parak ends with Lagi Kishar Hashem is very happy. This is just kill them all. And it's so negative that we use this as a tilma for Wednesday, right? Review Omrim, Kelnik Vot Hashem, Kelnik Vot Hafia. We look at the Siddur, we don't end there. We add the next three psukim on the next parak. They have nothing to do with it. It's Lachun Arana now, we say on Kibbutz Shabbat. Right? And we end Ki Kel Gadol Hashem, Umilak Gadol Kol. We add that on because it's just such a negative way of ending Yatzvi Tehem Hashem Elokeinu. This is the kind of the darker side of Mizmor L'Shilim HaShabbat. More about the punish the wicked rather than have comfort and that things will get better. So the Gemara tries to explain why do we say this on Wednesday? Rivia Yom Rim, Kelnik Mot Hashem, we say this parak. Hashem Shebarach Hamal Vana, because Wednesday is when the sun and moon were created. And we're saying the evil ones are the ones who worship the sun and the moon, so that's why we connect it to Wednesday.
Oh.
Which I think there's another reason, but that connected to the same idea. These are sort of taking the days of the week, and that they had, if they had a Shabbos, they Bnei Israel at slavery could look at the Shabbos, rest, and see Hashem's hand. And that's the Me'en Olam Haba, a little hint in our lives that Olam Haba, ultimate reward is coming, then Wednesday is about as far from it as you can get. Wednesday is the day that's stuck in Olam Hazeh, the middle of the week. And just like Bnei Israel needed a reminder of Hashem's ultimate justice on Shabbat, they needed some hope and this kind of redirection and the direction of hope in the middle of the week when things were at their worst. You're furthest away from that rest. So they were thinking of revenge, of Kelnik Mot Hafia, and Moshe taught them instead to look for justice. He ad tzedek yeshuv mishpat. Justice will return to righteousness. So Kelnik Mot Hashem is the day for is the Tzav for Hump Day. Right? So keep calm. Okay. Well, things will still get better from here. And because hang in there, Shabbos is coming. That's the message of Kelnik Mot Hashem. And it's the lesson we need in all the Wednesdays of our life.
Perfect day, perfect time to learn on Tuesday for Wednesday.
That's right. It's Wednesday's coming, but hang in there, Shabbos will get there. I'm
Cool.
gonna end.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I'll end
So, Dan,
here.
are you going to teach also a